Hey everybody, welcome to my podcast, MattNews.biz. The goal of this podcast is just to give me a platform to share my opinions, my thoughts and beliefs, and things that I'm learning along the way that have been lovingly dubbed Matt News. Now today I want to talk a little bit about the Bible, more specifically some of the experiences that I've had with it, some misconceptions I picked up along the way, and hopefully help some people learn some helpful ways that they should approach this amazing piece of literature. I want to preface this talk by saying that I'm not a Bible scholar with a degree. I have been a Christian for 19 years, and these are some of the insights that I've grown into along the way. I remember before becoming a Christian not really knowing what the Bible was about. I remember being a kid and having a small orange Gideon New Testament. I remember liking it because the first chapter was Matthew. I always looked at the Bible as one book, like a novel. I only ever read that first sentence, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. As I grew up, I became more skeptical of Christianity. There was no cause to my atheism. I was simply more open to other religions. I had a desire to make my own choices in my behavior, and my family had an open disapproval of people of religion. My openness to other religions stemmed primarily from my oldest sister. She had practiced many different faiths over the years: Wicca, Catholicism, Islam, Buddhism, I think, and even Satanism, to name a few that I know of. She had an affection for paganism, i.e. witchcraft, and that rubbed off on me as well. I remember her coming home with tarot cards and pendulums and us reading about them and even using them. With this openness came my second misrepresentation of what the Bible was. I began to think of the Bible as sort of a spellbook. I had heard people quote Bible verses before, but the way it was quoted made the verse seem very much like a spell. Then I became a Christian at the age of 17. I was given another copy of the New Testament with Psalms, the Cowboy Bible. I only opened the Bible when my pastor was speaking, and I only read the verses when he read them. And at one time, our associate pastors were kind of like vice pastors. He came up to me, and he saw my Cowboy Bible, and he said, "I'm going to bring you a real Bible." The next Sunday, he brought me an NIV study Bible, and I had that Bible for so long that the cover fell off of it. And after a few years, I was at a different church, learning to become a youth pastor, and a deacon came up to me, and he took my Bible in his hand, and he curiously pointed at the word Bible, and he said, "B-I-B-L-E. Do you know what that stands for?" And at the time, I didn't. I didn't know what the actual word Bible meant, so I was interested. And he said, "Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth." And that's where I was given my third misconception of what the Bible was. That statement made me think that every single word in the Bible we know is a direct instruction for me. I thought of the Bible as kind of like a Chilton's repair manual. It didn't help this misconception that most Bibles printed now have an index in the back. Are you feeling depressed? Turn to Psalm 42:5. Are you feeling angry? Ephesians 4:26-27. This is not to say that the Bible doesn't contain instruction, but it's just much more than that. So, what is the Bible? It's a collection of writings. 66 pieces of writings, to be exact, sometimes referred to as books. Now, I like to think of these separations as writings instead of books, because back in Jesus' time, the writings as we know, as the Old Testament, were bound in scrolls and rolled out in synagogue. Which brings me to the point of the Bible being a collection of writings instead of a single work. The misconception I had of the Bible being a novel or a singular book created this idea that the entirety of it was written down by one author. Now, without trying to sound scholarly, I hold this theological view of inspiration, meaning I believe through God's Spirit that human authors were activated to write down their encounters and perspectives that they experienced through and with God. And through these writings, God communicates truth to us as Christians. Now, there are many that say they believe in divine inspiration, and explain it as if the writers of the Bible were just empty vessels and they transcribed the words of God directly onto the page, and I just simply do not hold this view. And I don't believe this is what Paul meant when he wrote to Timothy that Scripture is God-breathed, or more literally, breathed out by God. The Bible is a human work. It was written and produced by human authors. It holds the viewpoints, experience, and history of humans. However, it is, at the same time, a divine work authored by God himself that he uses to speak to his people. And it's easy for us as Christians to hold the view that Jesus was totally God while at the same time being completely human, but it just seems that the view that the Bible is completely divine while also being completely human is a harder pill for us to swallow. Jesus has all authority on earth and heaven because he is fully God. So the words of the Bible have authority as well because it is the same. However, we have to make the distinction that the Bible was produced by humans who were inspired by God to write down their accounts, instructions, feelings, and experiences. Now, whenever I talk to someone about the Bible or I quote the Bible, I'll often say something like, Paul writes to the Ephesians instead of, well, the Bible says, or Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26-27 say, because it helps ingrain the context of what I'm talking about, or even what someone is reading. See, Paul wrote a letter to this group of Christians in the city of Ephesus, and those Christians were known as Ephesians. It also helps instill that Paul was the author, and that this text will have his point of view of the world. Why is this perspective so important to me? It's because it helps dispel the many misconceptions of the Bible. The Bible wasn't a set of golden tablets that fell from heaven, but a collection of writings produced by human hands, inspired by God in order for God to communicate to his people the story of his people. And I think if we approach the Bible in this manner when we read, our reading will be more productive, it'll be less prescriptive, and more meaningful. So how should I read the Bible? Where do I start? And how can I make sure that I'm reading the Bible properly? I also hold this view of what's called progressive revelation, meaning God will reveal things to you as time goes on and as you mature in your spiritual growth. I believe this can only happen when you're reading the Bible to understand it fully, and less so that you can find prescriptions for your life. Instead of, when you sit down with the Bible, instead of asking, what is God trying to say to me with this Bible verse? Ask, what did the author originally intend in this portion of Scripture? Considering the human author's intent allows the reader to consider the audience and what the author was trying to communicate to that audience in this portion that was written. See, portions of Scripture is also another phrase that has helped me tremendously when reading the Bible. Instead of thinking of the Bible as, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8, or even the love chapter, as these verses have been called, I want to see where Paul begins a new subject or point and when he ends it. See, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 starts with 1 Corinthians 12, 1 and goes on into chapter 14, verse 40. And to pluck a verse out of that without explaining what's going on is to completely misrepresent it, or so I've seen on multiple occasions. Now, when you read the Bible in this manner, the principles that you can pull out of what you're reading will become much easier, or at least be more accurate. Because you're not reading with what's in it for me, but what is being communicated. So, let's say you're sitting down with your Bible translation of choice. I have come to really like the New English Translation, or the NET. You open your Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What am I looking at here? What's it remind you of? Once upon a time, maybe? A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. In the year 738 AD, perhaps. See, what I'm looking at is I'm looking at a narrative. This is the beginning of a story. So, that's how I want to read it, as a story. If I'm a first-time reader, I'm not trying to interpret or anything else. My mission is to get the big picture. Read it. If I want to even think about taking notes, they will be vague. They will be broad in view. Who's the main character? What's going on in this scene? Things like that. Now, one method I like is the approach of the Bible Project, which Tim Mackey has attributed to John H. Salehammer, and that is taking the Bible and breaking them into movements. Now, for example, the Bible Project and even Salehammer break the book of Genesis into two narrative blocks. See, part one of Genesis, that's chapters 1 through 11, and it tells the story of God and the whole world. And part two is Genesis chapters 12 through 50, and those tell the story of God and Abraham's family. Now, these big chunks can be further divided into smaller narrative movements. This method works really well for the entire Bible, and I often start my studies and readings by watching the Bible Project videos on that particular book that I'm reading so that I can have the big picture in mind as I read through it. Now, knowing the actual narrative helps me when I start going in deeper and studying the original meanings of words, possible interpretations as to what the original author intended, etc. I think that that's the most important thing to do when you're starting to read the Bible. Understand what is happening rather than what is being said. With that mentality, when a reader gets to the letters like Romans, instead of asking the question, is Romans 13 talking about my relationship with the government? Think, what is going on in Rome that Paul has to write a letter to this church, and how does Romans 13 fit into that? I feel as though I can belabor this point to the ground, but I have this deep conviction that a lot of people who are in church today don't know what the Bible is, they don't know how to approach it, and they don't know where to start reading it. The Bible has been seen as this mysterious piece of literature since it was bound together, but I pray that what I've tried to communicate here will demystify and possibly encourage someone to read the Bible. I want to conclude all of this with this story and an important point of view that I hold. I believe that the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation should be discussed, they should be debated, they should be carefully considered. And I believe that when reading the Bible, one should see it as meditation literature. That is, something to sit on and ponder for long periods of time, and again, to discuss amongst a community of others. So, back in the first century, there was a practice in the synagogue known as Darasha. This was kind of a message portion of the assembly, and it was also customary during these services that people attending the synagogue were chosen to perform different functions of the service. And so one person would read the Torah, another person would pray, another person would read the prophets, and another person would discuss the readings. In many portions of the New Testament, we see Jesus and the apostles going into synagogues and speaking. The synagogue in the first century was seen as this place where scripture was not only read, but understood and often challenged. There's this story in the book of Luke where Jesus goes into the synagogue and he reads from the book of Isaiah. Now, the Jewish people have this schedule of readings, so they read particular portions of the scriptures on particular days. So, think of this. Jesus read and spoke upon Isaiah 61, and that was according to the schedule. He reads this portion and then he proclaims, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled even as you heard it being read." I'm sure there was deeper discussion because the next verse says, "All were speaking well of him and were amazed at the gracious words coming out of his mouth." Now, our belief that Jesus is God in the flesh, we can say that his interpretation was 100% accurate. But a part of my astonishment is the open discussion of that interpretation and how vital it was and still is within the Jewish community. How much more vital do we think it should be for Christian community? I believe that with every misconception that I held about the Bible came with its lessons to teach me what it is, what it really was, and what it wasn't. But I would have never known the proper way to look at the Bible without longing to understand the Bible and a community of people willing to discuss what it is. The opportunity to be wrong, the opportunity to be corrected, and the opportunity to challenge were given to me early on in my Christian walk, and that helped me tremendously along the way. Guys, I hope you got something out of this podcast today. I'm going to try to do a little bit more here on throughout the new year. But again, this podcast is really made for me to just kind of express things that I feel, that I have opinions on, but also that I'm learning along the way. And I think that's the major point of it, is things that I'm learning along the way. Because I do believe in that progressive revelation, and I want to keep progressing forward. I want to keep progressing to thoughts and ideas that are closer to what God wants me to know. And I think that's going to help us out in our Christian walk. And I definitely am open to discussions and dialogue. And I actually plan on having a guest here, either the next episode or the episode after that. And we're going to talk a little bit about this idea about what's known as conditional immortality. And I'm not going to go too far in detail, but it shakes up a lot of the views that we have about what happens when people die and what happens when people pass away. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I hope to see you next time as we discuss more Matt News.